I direct your attention to the words of verse 1 of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. This book, as you know, is titled in chapter 1, The Song of Songs. It is so titled because it contains the greatest subject that there ever has been or ever will be here in time and throughout eternity, a subject that angels desire with their superior intellects to look into, and a subject that certainly is of interest to us all. It is the subject of the love of Christ to his church. We can say of this book, as Paul writes in Ephesians, we speak a great mystery, but we speak concerning Christ and the church. And in many ways, it should be no wonder that people ought to love Christ. Christ is the altogether lovely one. He is the fairest among 10,000. He is beautiful. He is eminently beautiful. It really ought to be no wonder that people ought to love him, and even that people would love him. But what a truly wonderful thing it is, as we have it throughout the Word of God, and as we have it in a very special way in this book, that Christ would so love his people, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the theme here in this book. It is true of this book, as it is true of all the scriptures, indeed, what Christ says himself in the volume of the book, in the volume of the scriptures, it written is of me. It's a love song. Poetry is used. We believe this is an allegory, a song of love between Christ and the dear people that he loves with an everlasting love, and that by grace come to love him and to say of him, he is altogether lovely. Well, here is Christ in verse 1 of this chapter speaking to his bride, speaking to his church. And as we listen to him speak, our attitude ought to be the same as the psalmist that we were singing in Psalm 45. My heart brings forth a goodly thing. My words that I indite concern the king. My tongue's a pen of one that swift doth write. But here is the Lord Jesus, the great bridegroom. And we simply have two thoughts here as we look at this verse. Firstly, we want to see Christ declaring his own beauty. There's something very wonderful in that Christ declares his own beauty. And secondly, we want to notice that Christ desires that you would see his beauty too. That's why he is showing himself forth, so that you would see, that you would admire, that you would be drawn to him and his person and his work. So these two things, Christ declaring his own beauty and Christ desiring that we here, young and old, from the youngest child to the oldest person here, that we would see his real beauty. Firstly then, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Christ is here declaring his own beauty. He is declaring, this is my real beauty. He is speaking as the great I am. I am the rose of Sharon. It's the same one who in the days of his flesh would say, I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. Speaking with the authority of the one who is the great I am that I am, that spoke to Moses, the Lord Jehovah himself. And we have then, when we listen to him, we have the confidence that what he is saying is 100% true. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the God who cannot lie. And so when he declares his real beauty, we have the assurance, the infallible assurance, that there is no exaggeration here. That there is no false humility, there is no undervaluing, there is no overvaluing, there is no exaggeration. What he says is completely true. He is speaking as the great I Am. Christ knows his own beauty. Christ knows that beauty perfectly. He knows it with divine accuracy. He has a divinely accurate assessment of his own worth, of his own value, of his own beauty. And he says it with all the authority of heaven. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. He could say, as no doubt he did, sing these words, O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. He could say that of the Spirit that searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. Christ, in the days of his flesh, could say, he being filled with the Spirit without measure, O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest me in my sitting down. Thou knowest me in my rising up. And Christ, being filled with the Spirit without measure, is able, with that divine search, to say of himself, without exaggeration, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. We might be tempted, with our own carnality, to question the appropriateness of such a statement. Indeed, it would be very unbecoming of any creature, any mere creature, to ascribe beauty and glory in this superlative manner to oneself. We ask, is it appropriate to commend your own beauty? We look down on people who make a vain boast, and certainly it's very wrong for us or any other creature to speak in this way of our own beauty in the superlative way. Satan did that. Lucifer did that when he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, taking to himself a place he did not, that was not his own. King Agrippa did it and was eaten by worms. It doesn't become any creature to ascribe glory like this to themselves. But these, Agrippa and Lucifer, even the angel of light, they were taking something that did not belong to them. It was a robbery. It was a theft. But Christ, my dear friend, when he takes this beauty to himself and ascribes this beauty to himself, there is no robbery here. There is no theft here. He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, because he is God, equal with the Father and the Spirit in glory and in honor. And so when Christ says, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley, there's no theft and there's no robbery. He is declaring who he is, who he really is, and what he is really like. This is my real beauty, he declares. But he's also declaring that my beauty is incomparable beauty. It is incomparable beauty. That we believe is the idea of the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. There's no flower like the rose. And there's no rose like the rose of Sharon. It was known for its beauty. It was known for its sweet fragrance. And in Scripture you find Sharon is spoken of by way of excellence. Isaiah 35 speaks of the excellence of Carmel and Sharon being given to it. You associate Sharon with excellence and with beauty. And of the lily, as we read, Christ speaking of the lily that Solomon in all his breathtaking glory, is not to be compared to the lily of the field, the lily of the valley. And so Christ is here saying, my beauty is beyond comparison. Who in heaven with the Lord may once himself compare? Who is like God among the sons of those that mighty are? thou fairer art than sons of men. Grace into thy lips is stored. And certainly when we look around us, we see what is beautiful so often. We see creation, even though it groans and travails in pain, yet there is a beauty still in the created world around us. We look up, we see the sun, the moon, the stars. It proclaims the glory of God. It preaches a great sermon. There is great glory seen in the creation of God even still. But Christ, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Without him was not anything made that was made. The creation, the glory of creation, the glory even of the new creation, is not to be compared with this person, with Christ himself. You look around, you look up into the created world, and Christ's beauty is superlatively greater. You look at the apex of creation, man made in the image of God. You look at the best of men. Again, look at Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, dazzled with the glory that she saw of Solomon. But Christ is saying, Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like the lily. Solomon cannot say, I am the lily of the valleys. Even Adam in innocence, created in holiness, righteousness, and knowledge with dominion over the creatures. Yes, reflecting something of who God is, but Christ, thou fairer art, we say of him, than sons of men. And you look at the angels too. You think of the angels that kept their first estate. The angels are glorious creatures. The angels are holy creatures. The angels that never sinned. The angels that have unceasingly declared the praise and magnified the glory of God. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of thy glory. We sing of the angels, O ye his angels that excel in strength. Bless the Lord, ye who obey what he commands and hearken to his word. But to which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. When he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, let all the angels of God, the brilliant, bright, holy angels of God, let them worship him. Of Christ, we must say, he is fairer. He is more lovely. It is an incomparable beauty. It's a real beauty. This is my real beauty. This is my incomparable beauty. But he's also holding before us here that his beauty, at least to us, is a multi-layered beauty. It is a multi-layered beauty. Just like the rose, you can take a petal off and there's still more, and you find another petal and another petal, and you keep going on. So it is with Christ. There's a multi-layeredness of beauty that the saints find and will find to all eternity in Christ. You see beauty here and you think you've reached the summit, and then there's more beauty that's uncovered, and so it will forever be. It's a multi-layered beauty. And this has been happening ever since time began. The rose of Sharon, as it were, first budded in the first promise. I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There was a promise of the blooming of the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. The smell, the sweet smell of this rose began to perfume even in this earth. At the time of Noah, after the flood, Noah offers a sacrifice, and we read there that the Lord smelled a sweet savor. It was the beginning, as it were, of the fragrance, the perfume of Christ filling this world. And in all these Old Testament sacrifices, that's what we read of time and again. It was a sweet savor unto the Lord. And in all the prophecies, in all the types, in all the shadows of the king and his beauty that Isaiah speaks about, of the plant of renown that Ezekiel speaks about, of the root of Jesse, the branch that would come, that you have the budding, as it were, the blossoming of this rose of Sharon coming to expression. The Old Testament saints were singing, as we sing still in this New Testament age, of aloes, myrrh, and cassia. A smell thy garments had, out of the ivory palaces whereby they made thee glad. And you see in all this, Christ is, as it were, saying, I am the rose of Sharon. He's making himself known. He is showing forth his beauty. It's coming to bloom, at least in our experience, in our understanding. But oh, what a beauty came in the incarnation of Christ. How the rose began to bloom in the incarnation of the Son of God, the rose of Sharon. Sharon's rose is a flower that grows on this earth. We would understand it if he said, I am the rose of heaven. In many ways, that would make more sense to us. He is the rose of heaven. But he's saying, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the flower, this rose, this beautiful rose that is on earth, that is in Sharon. And what beauty is there? When you look at this rose in the incarnation of Christ, you see the Son of God in our nature with holiness. You see the graces of the Spirit. You see him grow in wisdom. You see this flower, as it were, blooming with wisdom, with knowledge, with favor of God, with truth, with love, without spot. In his life, many saw no beauty. They saw him like a root out of a dry ground with no form or comeliness. But yet there were those who saw him because of the work of the Spirit, who blows, as it were, upon this rose and causes the sweetness and the fragrance to come, as it were, into the spiritual nostrils of sinners. And people begin to see it and people begin to smell it. A woman who is a sinner comes with a large box of very precious ointment. Ointment that smells sweet, ointment that is precious. And she comes, this sinner, and she breaks it and she pours it on his head and she wipes his feet with her tears. And the question that comes to her is, why this waste? That's the estimation of the natural man. Why this waste of this ointment on this person? Why this waste? Why was she pouring such valuable ointment on him? Because she had come in her own soul to realize that this man is more precious. This man is more lovely. This man has more value and more fragrance by far, because she had heard, as it were, in her soul, him saying to her, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. And she was saying, his name is like ointment poured forth. She was saying of aloes, myrrh, and cassia, a smell thy garments had. This is a multi-layered beauty. But oh, what will we say when we look at this rose in his suffering and in his death? You know, when you bruise a rose, it gives off more fragrance. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was bruised, what a fragrance began to perfume this world and heaven itself. It seems so counterintuitive at one level. You look at Gethsemane and you see there the agony. You see there sweat, as it were, as great drops of blood. You see sleeping disciples. You see a kiss of betrayal. And you come to the arrest and you see then the scourging and the whipping and the mocking and the crown of thorns and the parting of his raiment and the sheer injustice of it all. And you come to the crucifixion and you see the pain. They pierced my hands and my feet. What beauty is there? What sweetness is there here? You hear him saying, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You hear him saying, I was the song of the drunkard. You hear him saying, the pains of hell took hold on me. I grief and trouble found. What beauty is there? You hear him saying, my tears and fast to afflict my soul were turned to my shame. When sackcloth I did wear, to them a proverb I became. What beauty is there here? Is it not shame that we see here? Is it not rejection that we see here? Is it not sorrow that we see here? Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Any grief like unto my grief? Any bruising like unto my bruising? What beauty is there here? This beautiful rose of Sharon, this delightful lily of the valley, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. Upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. We're asking, what beauty is there here? Have you seen beauty here, my dear friend? Have you smelt any fragrance here? Here, my dear friend, is the fragrance that perfumes not only earth, but heaven itself. This is the perfume, this is the scent that fills heaven itself. It is here, unlike anywhere else, that God himself will say that he smelt a sweet savor. And what is that smell? It is the smell of a perfect sacrifice. The smell of a perfect obedience to the will of God. So we read in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ephesians 5:2, Christ also has loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But go with Christ into the grave that we associate with death, the grave we associate with the stench of death because of sin. The grave of which Martha said of her brother Lazarus, you can't open the door now. It has been 4 days and he stinketh. The wages of sin is death. The smell of corruption is in the grave. But here is a grave. Here is a body that saw no corruption. There was no need for Nicodemus to come with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, because his garments already breathe of myrrh, of aloes, myrrh, and cassia. His smell, a smell his garments had. The grave that we associate with the stench of death, this grave, this body that sees no corruption, from this grave we can hear the words saying, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. The lily of the valley. We sing of the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23. But here in this valley of death, Christ, yes, under the power of death for a time. But in this grave there is a blooming. There is life. That's what Christ is saying. From this valley of death, there is life here. There is what has never been seen before. Here there is life. I am the lily of the valleys. Oh, what beauty, what life, what resurrection there is here. And you go with Christ all the way to heaven itself, and he is still there, the rose of Sharon. Still a flower of the earth. But fairer than all the flowers of heaven. The dust of earth, as John Duncan says, on the throne of God, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, on the very throne of God, perfuming and giving beauty and glory to that place. From heaven, Christ is saying and proclaiming in the gospel now to you this morning, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. Does this make sense, my dear friend? Have you seen this beauty? Have you smelt the sweetness of his perfect sacrifice? Can you say, like the bride, His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. If we can't, it's not because there's no beauty in him. If we can't, it's not because there's no fragrance and sweetness in him. It's because we are blind and we've lost our sense of smell. What, my dear friend, what, Christian friend here this morning, is your beloved more than another beloved? Can you say he is the chiefest among 10,000? Yes, his beauty is beyond comparison. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. Christ declares his own beauty. Let's notice here for a little that Christ desires that you would see this beauty too. That's why Christ is saying it. That's why he's here saying, I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valley. He knows who he is. He knows his own perfection. He knows his own beauty. He knows the efficacy of the sacrifice that he made once for all. He knows it fully. He knows it perfectly. And why then, we ask, is he declaring it to us? Why are you hearing it this morning? Why are you sitting in these pews hearing Christ saying, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. It's so that you would see it. It's so that you would admire it, yes. So that you would value it. It's so that you would have him. It's so that you would see how valuable he is. So that you would see how accessible he is. So that you would see how ready he is to save. The rose of Sharon, as we said, just like the lily of the valley, was a wild flower. And there's something incredibly beautiful about this. The rose of Sharon was not shut away in a king's palace. He didn't have to go into Solomon's gardens to over the high walls to find this rose, to smell this rose. You don't have to go to some restricted place to see the lily. It's there. It's available. It's a wild flower. The perfume is not bottled away in a jar and sold for an extremely high price. Christ is not saying, why this waste concerning his own beauty and his own fragrance? No, this is a flower of the field. It is free. It is accessible. You know, children here, you know that you can't go into somebody else's garden. You might pass by on the street and see someone's garden with very beautiful flowers in it. You can't go into the garden and pick the flowers from someone else. You'd get in trouble if you did that. But you will never get into trouble in the gospel for coming to the rose of Sharon and picking and taking. He's there to be taken. He's there to be picked, as it were. Christ did not go into a garden that little children or old people or any of us are not allowed into. He came as the rose of Sharon. He came into the open. He came into the valley. He came to the place where you can go and you can take, to have and to hold for yourself. You can take this rose. You can take this lily. You can have this rose. You can have this lily. It will never lose its scent. Take it, little children here. Take it, old people here. Christ is here in the gospel as the rose of Sharon in the open, out in the open. As one of the old writers said, with all its heavenly beauty and its rare fragrance, it is yours, O man, to pluck and take into your bosom for yourself. Yours, not merely to admire, but to possess. It's not just an option Christ is giving you. He's not making a recommendation. He is, as it were, thrusting himself upon you. Just like those who would walk through Sharon would smell the smell of the rose. They couldn't but, if they had any sense of smell, they couldn't but smell the fragrance. The smell would waft upon them. The smell would be thrust upon them, as though the rose was saying to those who pass by, "I am the rose of Sharon. Stop in your way to eternity. Stop as you pass through this world. I am the rose of Sharon," thrusting the fragrance upon you and saying, "Smell, stop and admire, stop and take. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley." And the lily is saying to stop and behold my beauty. You who are taken up with the beauty of this world, the trinkets of this world, stop and see real beauty. Stop and see my beauty. Don't only admire it, but take it. This beauty, this lily, infinitely more glorious than Solomon. Behold me, says Jesus Christ. I am the lily of the valleys. Our unbelief will come in at this point and say, just like the Pharisee says, just like Satan would say, something like what the Pharisee did with Mary when she poured the precious ointment on the Savior's feet, "Why this waste?" Maybe that's what your conscience is saying this morning. Why this waste? To waste Christ on me, on a poor, wretched sinner like me. My love is so cold. I'm so unfit. I'm so unworthy. I am black. Why this waste? For him to come into contact with the likes of me. And that's what your conscience is saying. And that's what Satan is saying. You're not worthy of him. As though that was ever a qualification. Why this waste? And you're saying his blood is too precious to be wasted on a sinner, a wretched sinner like me. Why this waste? Well, this is why we need to hear the rose of Sharon. We need to hear the lily of the valley. We need to hear what he is saying. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and our conscience a liar if it does not agree with this word of Christ. Here is what the faithful and the true witness is saying. Here is what the I am, the first and the last, is saying. And this is what he is saying to you this morning. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. It is when you pass by me. It is when you ignore me. It is when you say that I am of no value to you. That is the waste. That is the greatest rejection. That is the insult. His glory is declared to be great in this salvation. I am the rose of Sharon. Stop, he is saying. The rose, I have come to Sharon so that you would know that this rose is to be picked, that this rose is to be taken, to be admired, to be loved and treasured and valued. Yes, with all your own, as it were, the stench of our own sin around us. We feel it so often. But take this rose, have this rose, this lily. Now, poor soul, one old preacher says, if you would like an apron full of roses, come and have them. There's enough to go round. There is an abundance. You don't smell a rose and there's plenty of the fragrance to go around us all. Now, one person smelling the rose does not take away from another person smelling the rose. So it is with Christ. There is an abundance of this fragrance that emanates from his atoning death, from his sacrifice for us all here in Greenville, for a million worlds and millions beside to smell it, to receive the benefit of it. There was a dying criminal. There was a thief on the cross. And amidst the foul stench of the death that was all around him, he began to smell a beautiful fragrance. Amid the ugliness and the horror of the place of a skull, he began to see something exquisitely beautiful. Amidst the scoffers and the songs of the drunkards, he began to hear the one hanging beside him saying, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. Come and smell. Come and admire. Come and take. And though his hands were nailed to the cross, he could by faith clasp the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley into his own bosom as he hung there on the cross and heard the rose of Sharon saying, "Today, you with me in paradise." I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Has he ever said it to you? He's saying it now in the gospel. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. May the Lord bless his word.